Let us pray. Speak, Lord, in the stillness, while we wait on Thee. Hushed our hearts to listen in expectancy for Your name's sake. Amen. As we face this new year, there's one thing we all need, and that's help. As God's people, we cannot live as we ought. We cannot pray as we ought. We cannot serve as we ought without help. And praise God, He's given us a helper, the Holy Spirit. He's our divine helper. And I want to use John 16 and verse 7 as a launching pad this morning. We're going to look at some of the ways in which the Holy Spirit can help us in this new year. John 16 and verse 7. And I'm reading it from the New King James translation. Jesus said to His disciples, "It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you." The disciples had Jesus with them. How wonderful! They heard His teaching, they saw His miracles, they admired His character. He made such a difference to their lives. Whatever happened, He was there with them. They could count on Him in every situation. But one day Jesus dropped a bombshell amongst them. He said, "I'm leaving you." And they were devastated. They couldn't imagine life without Jesus. He knew how they felt, so He said to them, "Because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you." The Lord Jesus had to make way for the Holy Spirit, but He was not going to abandon His disciples. In chapter 14 of verse 18, He says, "I will not leave you orphans. I won't leave you to fend for yourselves. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." He left them by way of the cross and the resurrection and the ascension, but He came back to them at Pentecost. He came back to them in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. He came back to them in a glorious new inwardness. The disciples had Jesus with them, but they needed Jesus in them so they could all have Him wherever they went and whatever they did. That's what Pentecost accomplished. And this is one of the miracles of Christianity. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 1:27. No other religion in the world has its founder living in His followers. That makes Christianity unique. Jesus described the Holy Spirit as the helper. For the Greek word means one who draws alongside, like a ship bringing supplies. And the translation has a comforter, counselor, advocate, stand by. But whatever the translation, the idea of help runs through them all. Jesus said in chapter 14 and verse 16, I will pray the Father and he will give you another helper. And another means another of the same kind. I will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. Just as the Lord helped his disciples, so the Holy Spirit helps us. For he's been sent to do for us all that Jesus would do if he were here with us now. We cannot live as God's people. We cannot live as we ought without a personal partnership with the Holy Spirit. And I want to pick out three areas this morning in particular. Three areas in which the Holy Spirit can help us as this new year unfolds. And first of all, he can help us to pursue holiness. He can help us to pursue holiness. God saves us for nothing less. It is God's will that you should be holy. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 3. As he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do, for it is written, be holy, because I am holy. 1 Peter 1, 15 and 16. A holy God wants holy people. A holy Father wants holy children. It's the family likeness. Holiness is the family likeness. God wants us to be like his Son, the Lord Jesus. The hymn writer says he died that we might be forgiven. And that's a precious truth. But she didn't stop there. She went on. He died to make us good. He died to make us good. God saves us for goodness, for holiness, for Christ-likeness. But we find holiness hard because we're so weak, so wayward, and sometimes so willful. We need help. Praise God, then, that there's a helper on hand, the Holy Spirit. Amidst all the ups and downs of this new year, amidst the problems and the difficulties, we can count on Jesus' help by the Holy Spirit. But how does he help us? First of all, he uses persuasion. He uses persuasion. He pleads with us against all that is sinful and evil and wrong. As the hymn writer puts it, Christ is our advocate on high. Thou art our advocate within. Oh, plead the truth and make reply to every argument of sin. The arguments of sin? What does that mean? Like the psychologist with his love of awkward phrases calls it the rationalization of desire. It works something like this. Temptation confronts us with all its attractiveness. Instead of pushing it away, we toy with it. We know it's wrong, but we want to do it. So we think, why shouldn't? Why shouldn't I? Who's to know? There's no real harm in it. I'll only do it this once. The rationalization of desire. That's what the hymn writer means by the arguments of sin. King David knew this in his heart. He knew the arguments of sin in his heart. What a lot of evil he packed into the great sin of his life. He wanted the wife of one of his army officers. He saw how beautiful she was. And while his army was on active service, fighting his battles, he seduced her. Then, fearing the consequences, he arranged the death of her husband and added murder to royal lust. The man, after God's own heart, wallowed in sin. However did he get there? By the arguments of sin. And it happened like this. A sinful thought crossed David's mind, and we can't help sinful thoughts crossing our minds. But David dwelt on it when he should have blacked it out. He fed his imagination on it when he should have killed it with a prayer. He told himself that Uriah, the woman's husband, had died doing his duty. After all, gallant soldiers did fall on the field of battle. And then he married the woman. And that's supposed to rub out the adultery. David was a victim of the arguments of sin. Now tell me, do you know something about the arguments of sin? I certainly do. But tell me this also. When in the court of your soul, evil desire begins to plead the arguments of sin, is there not some other voice in that court pleading for noble things? When you wanted to go the wrong way, wasn't there another voice urging you to go the right way? Wasn't there a quiet, clear, insistent voice pleading the cause of holiness, bringing up every good point from the past to strengthen his case? Whose voice was that? The Holy Spirit's. He's our great ally in the pursuit of holiness. And we can count on his help in this new year as we pursue holiness. And he will never desert us. We may grieve him, slight him, ignore him, but he will never desert us. The Lord Jesus said, I will pray the Father and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. Forever. We can count on his help, on his support, whatever this new year brings. But how does he help us? He uses persuasion, but he also provides power. He also provides power. He not only pleads with us, he works in us. He not only persuades us, he empowers us. If you underline verses in your Bible, underline Philippians 2, 12 and 13. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. It's so important to get the balance right. We don't do it all, but neither does God do it all. We do it together. The effort is ours, and the enabling is his. If you forget everything else I say this morning, remember that. The effort is ours. The enabling is his. One day a sleepy young man went to George Muller, that wise man of God, and he asked Mr. Muller to pray for him because he found it so difficult to get up to have a quiet time in the morning. And George Muller said, young man, if you'll get one leg out of bed, I'll ask the Lord to help you get the other one out. The effort is ours. The enabling is his. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. To will and to do. Here are two distinct things. Doing it and desiring it to do. That's the problem for some of us. We know what's right and we want to do it, but we don't know how. We're so weak. We do try, but we fail so often. We must ask the Lord to help us by His Spirit and to ask Him expectantly. For if the effort is ours, the enabling is His. The Holy Spirit provides the power to do. That's the problem for some of us. To will. That's the problem for others of us. We just don't want to. That's the honest truth. We've no real interest in pleasing God. We prefer to please ourselves. Or we'd rather please others. We too must ask the Lord for His help and ask Him expectantly. For if the effort is ours, the enabling is His. Yes, the Holy Spirit is our great ally in the pursuit of holiness. With His help in this new year, with His help, we can do things that we could never do on our own. Here's the first area then in which the Holy Spirit can help us. He can help us to pursue holiness. Secondly, He can help us to practice prayer. He can help us to practice prayer. We cannot stress too much the importance of prayer. The week of prayer that you've planned is very important and needs your wholehearted support. We cannot stress too much the importance of prayer. It keeps our lives in touch with God. It keeps the lines of communication open. It's our way of tapping the resources of God, tapping them for our needs and the needs of others. It keeps the reinforcements of heaven marching to our aid. Prayer lies at the very heart of our faith. One day, the Lord Jesus put the alternatives very clearly before His disciples. He told them a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Those are the alternatives. If we don't pray, we shall give up. We shall get discouraged. We shall lose heart. Prayer helps us to keep going, to persevere, to keep on track. We cannot stress too much the importance of prayer, but we don't find it easy. We have to contend with our ignorance and indifference. There's so much confusion about prayer. People pray for things that can only come by work, and they work for things that can only come by prayer. A woman once told her pastor that she was leaving the church and not coming back. When he asked her why, she said that her daughter had sat for a scholarship, and as her mother, she'd prayed hard for her success. She not only had not passed, but she was at the bottom of the list. So that proved there was nothing in prayer, and she was leaving the church and not coming back. How foolish! How foolish! The pastor knew the daughter. She was a charming girl, but she couldn't have won a scholarship for love or money. She hadn't the brains for that. Yes, there's so much confusion about prayer. We know what we want, but we don't always know what we need. And when God doesn't give us what we want, we lose heart in prayer. Some people treat God like an emergency exit. They only turn to Him in times of trouble. A pastor called on a man who was ill, a man not used to the ways of the church. When the pastor was ready to go, he said to the man a little tentatively, "Would you like me to pray with you?" And the pale man in the bed turned paler still. And he said, "Oh no, thank you. I'm not so bad as that." Confusion. But even when we do, when we are clear about prayer, we don't find it easy. We need help. Praise God then that there's a helper on hand, the Holy Spirit. According to Romans 8:26, we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. And the word helps in the Greek is a real mouthful. It's the word sun antilambanamai. The word helps is much simpler. Sun antilambanamai. It means literally to take hold of together with opposite. It's what two men do when they carry a table. It's too heavy for one of them to carry it by themselves, so one man takes one side of it and the other man takes the other side of it and they carry it together. That's a perfect illustration of this word, sun antilambanamai, which in our translation is helps. We find it in the story of Martha and Mary in Luke 10, verse 40. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached Jesus and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." Sun antilambanamai. "Therefore, tell her to help me." Martha didn't want Mary to do all the work. She wanted her help. She wanted them to do it together. The Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. It's not that He does it all. He doesn't carry the whole burden of prayer. And neither does He leave us to carry the whole burden of prayer. He takes one side of it, we take the other side of it, and we pray together. It's a partnership. At the end of Ephesians 6, Paul says, "Pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit," capital S, "in reliance, in dependence upon the Holy Spirit." We must make time to pray. We must carve out time for prayer every day, if it's possible, every day. And when we do that, we can count on the help of the Holy Spirit. For He's the Spirit of prayer. He's been given to us to help us in our prayer life. And as we seek to pray, maybe you've made a new resolution. You want to pray more this year. When we pray, we can count on the Spirit's help. The Lord will help us by His Spirit, because the Holy Spirit has been given to us to help us in our prayer life. So here are two areas in which the Holy Spirit can help us in this new year, as this new year unfolds. He can help us to pursue holiness. He can help us to practice prayer. And thirdly, He can help us to preach Christ. He can help us to preach Christ. To share Him with others. From the moment God saves us, we become Christ's witnesses. We don't all become preachers or evangelists, but we all become witnesses. And Jesus says to us what He said to those first disciples, those first apostles, "You will be my witnesses." We may be a good witness or a bad witness, but we are all witnesses. If God has saved us, we're God's people, we're all witnesses. We can become a showpiece for the Lord Jesus. He can demonstrate in us what He can do for those who trust Him. Amidst all the ups and downs of human experience. He can demonstrate in us what he can do for those who know him as Lord and Saviour. I long to be a good witness, don't you? We witness, first of all, with our lives. We witness with our lives. The Greek word for witness means not only to bear witness, but to be a witness. To be a witness in our own redeemed personality. What we are is just as vocal as what we say, if not more so. People look as well as listen. A Christian was speaking to an unbeliever about spiritual things. And the unbeliever said, "Excuse me, but what you are speaks so loudly that I can't hear what you say." What a rebuke. What a rebuke. How different from the comment made by the biographer of Henry Drummond, the fine man of God, Henry Drummond. He said that writing the story of his life was like writing the history of a fragrance. Isn't that lovely? Like writing the history of a fragrance. We know we ought to be good witnesses, but we don't find it easy. And the world is quick to spot inconsistency. Some time ago, five policemen were burgled at Chelmsford in Essex. The incident received special mention in the paper because, embarrassingly for the policemen, they'd recently completed a series of lectures on crime prevention. The thieves got into their homes through an open skylight. One of the first places police warned the public to keep closed at night. Yes, the world is quick to spot inconsistency, especially in the church, especially in the Christian, the professing Christian. Our conduct should match our profession by God's grace, but we don't find it easy. We need help. Praise God, then, there's a helper on hand, the Holy Spirit. He's been given to us to make us good witnesses. As Jesus said to the apostles, "You shall receive power when the Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses." My witnesses. How encouraging, then, that in Luke chapter 11 and verse 13, the Lord Jesus says, "If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" That's not difficult, is it? Asking. To those who ask him. And the reference there is not so much to the person of the Holy Spirit, because every believer has the Holy Spirit living in him or her. It's a reference, it's more a reference to the power of the Spirit, the enabling, the empowering of the Spirit. Do you ask for that every day? You have the encouragement of Luke 11:13 to do just that. If we open our lives to the Lord Jesus day by day, he will fill us with his Spirit, make us good witnesses. We witness with our lives, and we also witness with our lips. We witness with our lips. The Greek word for witness means not only to be a witness, but it means to bear witness. We must preach Christ. We must speak about him as God gives us opportunity. We must share the Lord Jesus. We must share the gospel of God's love. We must gossip the gospel. And again, we don't find it easy. I don't find it easy. We don't find it easy. We need help. So praise God that there's a helper on hand, the Holy Spirit. See how he helped the first Christians. They were facing persecution, but they didn't ask God to stop the persecution. This is what they prayed. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Oh, how I long for this boldness in witness, in sharing Christ with others. Here's an encouraging thought for a new year. In the Christian life, we don't have to face anything or do anything alone. We have the Holy Spirit living in us, Jesus' representative, his other self. And he's been given to us to help us. So that we don't live as orphans, defending for ourselves. God promises, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. And here are three areas in which he can help us as we go into this new year. He can help us to pursue holiness. He can help us to practice prayer. And he can help us to preach Christ. He said, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And he did just that at Pentecost. And when God saves us, he gives us our share in that. For the Holy Spirit comes to live in us. To reveal Jesus to us. To make us Christ-centered. Christ-glorifying. And to help us. And these areas in particular that we've been thinking about this morning. But to help us in other ways. So let's look to him for his help. That we might live this new year. For the glory of God. And the blessing and salvation of others.